see. 'Twas grace, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
Hallelujah.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares.
Hallelujah.
I have already come.
For this?
Oh, and when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Let's sing praise God. Is he worthy of our praise? Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you for that amazing grace today, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we sing a song? Let's sing another song, brother. You got to adjust a closer walk with you. Let's see here. I'm supposed to make them out of a list. I said, it's hard to make a list out for an inspirational song later. Amen. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing this song. Amen.
And I am weak, but thou art strong.
Oh, my.
Oh, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Oh, I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Daily walking.
Up a piano player out of the Lord provides now, doesn't he? Amen. How many are looking for? Oh God, give me just a closer walk with thee. Amen. Amen. Certainly appreciate the Lord. Maybe seated just for a moment. We do have one prayer request today, and it's from Sister Emma. It says, please pray for Brother Dustin's grandpa. He fell and fractured his head and has bleeding behind his face. He is at a hospital in Columbus. Amen. So we want to definitely pray for that today. We also remember Brother Philip, Sister Cindy, Brother Philip's mom. His biological mom. They just got in contact with her a week ago, and then the next day she got into a condition where she was almost pretty much moving to still going, and things look pretty rough, but like I said, it was something he hadn't done yet, so as far as to get reacquainted with his mother from his childhood, so by the grace of God, I want to remember him in prayer for the Lord to fulfill his will there. Amen? Also want to remember by the grace of God, all those that are traveling abroad, assembly here, and we want to keep in remembrance all those precious needs that we have. How many would like to make known an unspoken request to the Lord today? Amen? Just ask you, if you'd like to stand one more time, Brother Simon, can you come up and lead us in a word of prayer here?
Jesus, Lord, we just need pure, unadulterated, Lord, believers, Lord God, that want to go fully into you, God, Lord, to be fully yielded to you, Lord Jesus, Lord, fully ready to be moved by a God and be led, Lord Jesus, Lord, like lambs, God, and Lord Jesus, Lord, if we could just be a little lamb, Lord, led by the dove, Lord God, we'll be just fine, Lord, everything will be just all right, and Lord, we're excited in this time, Lord, and Lord Jesus, the end time, we see it here, Lord Jesus, Lord, it's really, Lord, really happening, God, Lord, right before our eyes, God, things are unfolding, Lord, scripture's being fulfilled, God, and Lord, we're so excited, God, Lord, and though there may be nerves, Lord, and things like that that may be affecting us a little bit, God, Lord, we believe, Lord, that your promises are yea and amen, and Lord, there's a rapture for the bride, God, Lord. Lord, there's a time where the bride, God, Lord, will be caught up and meet our Maker in the air, Lord Jesus, God. We believe we're at that time now, Lord God. And Lord, just help us, Lord, to trim our lamps, Lord, and get all that carbon buildup out of our wicks, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, so that oil, Lord, that wick's dipped in can come up, Lord, and shine bright amongst this darkness, God, Lord. And Lord, that our lamps would be ready, that we can see, God, Lord, and go out to meet you, Lord Jesus, Lord. We just love you, Lord. Be with each one, Lord. Bless our pastor, God, Lord, as he continues, Lord, to fight this battle, God, Lord. And Lord, be with our brother, God, as he brings us word. We just love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. And Lord, be with little Emma's great-grandpa there, Lord Jesus, Lord. Just bless him, God, Lord. Make him whole, God, and be with Brother Philip, God. Help him to witness, Lord, to his biological mother, God. Maybe win her right into the kingdom, God. We just love you, God. Grant, bless all things, Lord, bless tithes and offerings. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Do we have that song on higher ground? Sing that song. I want to be on higher ground today, amen. Do you believe that God has sent a gift today that's going to feed you that word? Amen. Amen. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing of the word, amen. Let's sing a song.
Pressing on the upward way. Lots of faith in every day. Song now, won't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing, let's keep singing if we can here. I'm enjoying myself. Amen. You got time for a couple more? Amen. Let's sing that song if we can. Let's sing Fill My Way with Love. Amen. God, fill us with love at this point in time. Let the world see the message in us. Amen. Amen. And let me walk with you.
Thank you.
sing that song if we can. There's no one. There's no one like Jesus. Amen. There ain't nobody like him, brother, sister. The reason we're here is the rapture is getting ready to fully manifest. Amen. Hallelujah, brother, sister. If you've been catching the word, looking at the seals, looking at the beast, the representations. This Bible is perfect, and it produces perfection in the believer through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. That's what we're looking at. Don't play the preacher. Glory to God. Hey, we're just family here. We just better have a good time. Amen? I'm going to have to drop this after a minute here. We've got to start searching and looking around, but we're going to find something. Amen? Hallelujah. With a word, we want a first love gospel, amen. It's word or nothing, amen. good to see Brother Larry. Sing a song or so. I think he's prepped up and ready to go now. Amen. Usually comes right out and starts going, but I think his fingers are warmed up now.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, brother, sister, I told Brother Ben, I said, we got one service today, so we want to let go and let God. Amen.
Amen.
How many are hungry for the Word of God
yes,
today?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You haven't put a time limit on God. You just want the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Knowing that the time is short, we're looking at it and say, God,
yes.
I need a change.
Yes,
I need more of you, Lord, today.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause as we invite our brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God bless you, my friend. Amen. I enjoyed that. Hallelujah. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Happy to be a Christian. How many loves the Lord Jesus with all of your heart? Amen. I certainly appreciate God's grace to you and to me as well. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. I'm going to get this coat off so Sam and I can do some work here. Amen. Amen. I count it a privilege, amen, and an honor to be back with you again. I'm so sorry that I wasn't able to work things out to be here a few weeks back. I was telling Brother, I don't know when I've been so sick with the flu. It took me 2 weeks nearly to get over it. It was just such a tremendous hit on my body. And I think Brother Barton, some of the saints had wrote in, asked me how I was doing, and I was smiling and saying doing better, but I was had a long way to go even after that. But I'm glad that we was able to make a meeting to be able to come here this weekend. And the brother that I originally had scheduled for this weekend, he had moved his meeting back to Thursday night of this coming week. He had a revival planned, and he had scheduled me on accident. At least that's what he said. But after getting the flu and missing there and knowing this is the only weekend I could get back to Napoleon, I said it was no accident. Hallelujah. So I'm glad to be able to be here with you. I count this a home away from home. Brother Smith is one of my close, good friends. And as it is with preachers, a lot of times we don't always lay on the phone with each other day and night and things. But what I love about it is anytime you're with them, it's just like we've just never even left. It might be months in between, but we just pick up right where we left off. And I appreciate my brother for that, and I appreciate his friendship, and always for the opportunity and the ability to be able to come by and preach to you folks, and appreciate the open pulpit here at this little church. And God bless you. We love you folks very, very much. And I'm so happy to have the little girl with a big voice today. She's been missing. Amen. Amen. She's been missing some of these meetings up through here because she's a teacher now. So don't say bad grammar in front of her. Don't say seen instead of saw and all that, or she'll deal with you right on the spot. Amen. And I've had to change a lot of things, being a little bit of a billhilly, part Ohio and in part Tennessee. You know, I've had to change a few things around Madam School Teacher in the last little while. But anyhow, it's been good. Amen. And we love the fact that she's been able to do this. Our desire is to be able to teach our kids at home and to be able to instruct them and things like that. And we don't have to throw them out there in the schools. It's all right if you do that, but we like the idea of being right with the gospel and being able to travel with them and do what we need to do for the Lord, and just makes it that much easier for her. But and with that said, I've been missing her being here at these little meetings, so I'm going to make her sing a couple extra songs to make it up to y'all and so forth like that, you know. Amen. Amen. So come on, we'll sing a little bit this morning. And then we'll get right into the preaching of the word of the Lord. Amen. Is this thing, these working here? All right. This one here is on? Do I have to touch a button or turn it? Or do you turn it on back on? All right. I want to sing a couple songs for you this morning that the Lord has given me over the past few months. These are original songs that we've tried to write, Samantha and I, together. And this first one's called You Are the Lamb of God. I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you like it anyways. You are the breath I breathe. You are my song, my family. You are the Lamb. You are the Lamb of God. You are my hope and my expectancy. You gave me your spirit so lovingly. You are the Lamb. You are the Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You are the Lamb. You are the Lamb of God. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God. You died, you rose, you set me free, gave me power and authority. You are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God. And you spoke your word and made devils flee, brought me redemption and you pardoned me. You are the Lamb. You are the Lamb of God.
Lord Jesus, you are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God. Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, yes sir, you are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God.
You believe that this morning?
You're the one who hung on Calvary. You suffered death and you bought my liberty. You gave life, you gave it abundantly. Oh, and now I can sing, thank God I'm free. I'm free. Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Yes, sir, you are the Lamb. You are the Lamb of God. Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. I said now, you are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God. You died, you rose, you set me free, gave me power and authority. You are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God. And you spoke your word, made devils flee, brought me redemption and you pardoned me. Oh, you are the Lamb, you're the Lamb of God. Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Oh, you are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God. Jesus, oh, I'm singing, Jesus, oh, Jesus. You are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God.
You are the Lamb,
you are the Lamb of God. You are the Lamb, you are the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Did you like it? Oh, amen. Amen. I'm so glad to hear that. We want to sing another one to you. Amen. This is called Beulah Land Is Not So Far Away. Amen. I believe that to be the truth, don't you? Amen.
It's a land that's faster than our eyes. Such beauty, no words could e'er describe. Just beyond this veil of flesh, you'll call us home to eternal rest.
Not so far away, a place between night and day.
Oh, just one breath and you're home to stay. Never
and it guides.
Then time will fade and our journey will end.
I'm glad about that.
I'll shout hallelujah. I'm made it in. Beulah land is not so far away.
Thank you, Lord. It's
a place between night and day.
Oh,
just one breath and you're home to stay. Nevermore this house of clay. Oh, just one breath and you're home to stay. Through so many dangers and toils of this life, I have already come, but He keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise and I'm gonna stand. Every word His holy word has said, then holding to His hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead.
Here's the good part.
I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me. Heaven is in my view. I'm gonna make it through. In spite of the good intentions I've had, sometimes my strength can't fail. Though I have tried the very best that I could, my weaknesses prevailed. But then I remember the promise He made, that in my weakness He is strong, and that's when I know whatever may come, His steady hand will lead me on. I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on
is working everything for my good.
My good.
He walks beside me. Heaven is in my view. I'm gonna make it. And he said, I'll make it. I'm gonna make it through. I'll make it through.
Hallelujah. How many can say amen to that this morning? Praise the Lamb of God. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen, and hallelujah, and praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, it's so good to be in the presence of the Lord like this. Can you do both verses? God is watching me. Can you do both? I'm going to put it in G and let you do it. This next song, let me tell you about it. Our 7-year-old girl, Annalise, wrote this next one we get ready to sing to you. And it's a beautiful way she was singing. She'd say, God is watching me. And she'd go around singing these words. And she, every now and then she'd come to me and she'd say, Brother, Daddy, she'd say, Daddy, what does it mean when you go up the hill and you're climbing and you're going up? I'd say, well, does it mean steep? She'd say, thank you. She'd walk off and come back a little bit and let her. She'd say, I'm going down the road. And what is that? I'd say, rough. She'd say, thank you. Appreciate that. She'd walk off. When she came back and put this song together, I could not believe what we was hearing. Her mother and I, we could not believe. We're going to start with the chorus because that's where Annalise started. And we're going to put it, you're going to lead it out. If you can't do it, I'm going to have to take it back from you. So you have to do a good job on it, all right? You got it? Ready? God is watching me. Except that I take
every road that I travel.
I done told you, you can't mess it up. We're just told these people all that. Can you get it up there? All right, go.
God is watching me. Every step that I take. Every road that I travel on. Every move that I make. When I feel alone and sad, He lights my way. I'm glad that Jesus is mine. Every step that I take. God, I love you so very much. He's my Savior and my only God. I trust you all so much, no matter what.
Well,
nothing will stop me from being His child. I don't have to run and hide. He said He would be with me till the end, and He's my closest friend. God is watching me
every step that I take,
every road that I travel on, and every move that I make. When I feel alone and sad, He lights my way. I'm glad that Jesus is mine every step that I take. When my way gets rough, every mountain is steep, He promised He'd lead me through many valleys deep. Jesus just keeps me with His eye. Heaven is ahead and just in sight. I put on my walking shoes. His pathway is what I choose. God is watching me
every step that I take,
every road that I travel on, every move that I make. When I feel alone and sad, He lights my way. I'm glad that Jesus
every step that I take. When I feel alone and sad, He lights my way. I'm glad that Jesus is mine every step that I take, 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 every step that I
take,
every step I take.
You think she did a good enough job? Should I let her sing a little bit more of it? You think so? All right. All right, you got it now.
God is watching me. Yeah. Every step that I take. And every road that I travel on. And every move that I make. When I feel alone and sad, He lights my way. I'm glad that Jesus is mine. Every step that I take. When my way gets rough and my mountain is steep, He promised to lead me through many valleys deep.
Well, Jesus just keeps with His watchful eye. Heaven is ahead and just in sight. I put on my walking shoes. His pathway is what I choose.
God is watching me.
Every step that I take.
Amen.
Every road that I travel on. Every move that I make. When I feel alone and sad, He lights my way. I'm glad that Jesus is mine.
Every step that I take.
When I feel alone and sad, He lights my way. I'm glad that Jesus is mine.
Every step that I take,
every step that I take, every step that I take, every step that I take, every step that I take, every step that I take, every step that I take, every step that I take, every step that I take, every step that I take, every step that I take.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I might keep you around. You've done a pretty good job, I'm of it. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Praise the Lamb of God. Sir, appreciate the Lord Jesus, don't you? Amen. Just looking forward to what He has for us today. Brother, can you bring this monitor up any? Is it possible to turn it up some? After all that singing, my voice gets a little hoarse. Do I turn it here? You know, they say I've got education, but I don't know how to work it. I'll let you master it. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Amen. I want to speak to you on one word this morning. Simplicity. Simplicity, the simplicity of Almighty God. How many knows that God hides Himself and reveals Himself in simplicity? Amen. That's the way God has always done it. For all these thousands and thousands of years that the Lord Jesus has hid Himself and revealed Himself, it's always been done in the tool of simplicity. Matthew 11, 25, and we want to pick up just that one verse. And then I want to read to you something out of the sealed book here in just a moment. And then we'll pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then 3 hours from now, we'll go eat supper, okay? All right. Amen. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now watch that one more time. He said, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Did you notice he said the Lord of heaven and earth? Heaven and earth. So both parts apply to what Jesus is saying here. We'll see how that comes in just a moment. I want to read you out of the seal book now. God hiding Himself in simplicity, revealing in the same. This is paragraph 113. It is strange to think how that God does such a thing as that. God will hide Himself in something so simple that'll cause the wise to miss it a million miles. And then He turns right back around in that some simple thing, in the simplicity of His way of working, and reveal Himself out again. But the Bible said, I thought it made a text that we might study this before we go into the great teaching of the seven seals. Many miss Him, now watch carefully, by the way He reveals himself. That's the reason why that we don't have a church of 10,000 this morning and aren't meeting in the Bengals stadium like the Osteen bunch, and they converted the stadium. That's why we don't have such this morning, because many miss the way God reveals himself by the way God reveals himself. Because if they could see that God was actually here this morning, I mean in Napoleon, right here, if they could see he was here, they wouldn't want to be anywhere else if they really wanted to see him. Why don't they see him? The way that God hides himself, the way God reveals himself. Amen. Let's pray together over the word. Now, as each head is bowed, I'd like to ask you if you have a need or request on your heart, some petition you'd like to make known with the Lord, I'd like you to raise your hand to him if you would and just say, Lord, remember me this morning. Amen. My, all the hands going up. God bless you. My hand as well. Heavenly Father, we so thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for the opportunity to be in your house. God, we count it a privilege to be called the children of God. And Lord, how we've laughed and had fun, cried and shouted this morning, and just enjoyed ourselves in the presence of the Lord, and just had a good time being in church this morning. Now, Father, we come to what your prophet called the sincere side of the service, which is the preaching of the word of the Lord. This is the most important part of any service. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take your word tonight, or this morning rather, and you will stand by that word and vindicate that word to be right in our hearts. Let us know what is truth. Let us know what is right. Let us know what is real. Give us the understanding that we have need of as your children to be able to stand as the people of God in the last days, so wicked, so evil. Let our hearts be full of love, revelation, and adoration to him who has saved us and snatched us as the firebrand. May the Holy Spirit, I pray, come take your word today and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. And every need and every request, Lord, be mindful of our hearts. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I believe he hears us, don't you? Amen. I believe he hears us, and I believe he sees us. I was reading just a little bit earlier this week where the prophet talking about possessing the gate of the enemy. And I was listening to how Brother Branham was describing the overcomer and the conqueror and the victor and so forth. And I began to think to myself, what an amazing tool that God used, this tool of simplicity, to be able to manifest everything he ever promised in any age. Yet, overcomers to the world's view of it don't really look like overcomers as we would think, because it is so simple and so easy that people, most of the time, it goes right over top of their head. But we're so grateful to the Lord this morning to have a message, to have a prophet, to have preachers and so forth, and the Holy Spirit to reveal to us these hidden things of God, these simplistic things that make his word true, that make his word real. And to look at this particular thought in the way that the Lord Jesus said it here, it really overwhelms me when I read these words, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you have revealed them unto babes. Now the key that we want to look there is the way that God hid it and the way that God revealed it was both in the key of simplicity. God hid it and he revealed it in the very same way. Now, I want you to look at those first couple words there where he said, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, I think it's amazing whenever we go to look at this particular phrase here, how that Jesus was not just identifying that this revelation and this wisdom of God was hidden from just those that was on the earth, but he also identifies it was hid and revealed in heaven the same way. Now, we know that in the beginning that when Satan desired to have a greater kingdom than that of Christ or of Michael, we know that it was through wisdom and subtlety of wisdom that the devil chose to bring about his great work and his great kingdom work of being worshipped like God and wanting to be like the Lord Jesus. We understand it was wisdom that caused such a thing. And God allowed the devil, he created the devil in such a way where that Satan could choose his own pathway, and by choosing his own pathway, thereby turning down God's pathway and making two ways for humanity and for the angels in heaven that fell from their first estate, rather than just one way. Now, this way was, of course, hidden from man. It was hidden from the world. It was hidden from the devil, because God will not allow the precious revelation of the Word, this great pathway of eternal life, will not be revealed to those that are just full of wisdom and seeking for gain through wisdom and worldly devices and so forth as that. But God is looking. I don't want you to fail this morning. God is looking for humble hearts. He's looking for someone that is teachable, someone that is touchable, that can be influenced by the power and the presence. I feel religious to my toenails by the influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, somebody say amen this morning. God is looking for somebody that will be like a babe. Hallelujah. We talk about so much about maturity, and I want you to grow up, but this morning I want you to be a baby. Hallelujah. Oh, you say, how's it going to be? I don't know. It's a paradox to me as well. That God wants me to be an adult, but wants me to be a baby at the same time. I'm just a grown-up baby. That's all I know. Hallelujah. He has hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but he reveals these secret things of God. Oh, praise his name. He reveals these things of God to those that are like a baby, those that have no preconceived ideas, those that are willing to be trained and able to be trained, that can learn what God wants, what God doesn't want. Oh my, that it can walk in the newness of life and the presence of God without one question or one doubt to his sovereignty or to what he wants. Amen. God wants us to be an entirely different type of people than the rest of the world. We're separated. We know that. We're peculiar. We know that. But God wants us to be odd. He wants us to be oddballs. And to the world, those that, you know, what is it? Is it tonight beggar's night? Is tonight the beggar's night? Or was it last night when people dress up in their costumes and so forth? Tomorrow, my wife is motioning tomorrow. You understand that when they get out there and they do, and then you tell your folks and you tell your aunt and uncle and whoever else in the family, they say, well, are you taking your kiddies out and dressing them up? I say, yes, I am. I'm taking them to church Sunday morning, dressing them up in their Sunday garb, and we're going to go to the house, but we ain't begging. It's freely given. Oh, hallelujah. It's given without money, without price. It's been given to the elect of God. But they think you're weird. They think you're odd. You don't put up Santa Clauses on Christmas, and you don't carve pumpkins on Halloween. They think you're weird. They think you're odd. You sisters don't cut your hair, and you don't dress like the rest of the world, and you don't do these things. They think you're odd. They think you're weird. But it is in that simplicity. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. It is in that simplicity that God hides himself, and that God reveals himself through the simplicity of a human life. Think of this remark. Brother Bram said, God in his labor pains. God in his labor pains gave forth and gave birth to housewives. Gave birth to painters. Gave birth to factory workers, to farmers. God gave birth to the simplest of the simple, of the easiest of the easy. Now you think if God himself was going to give birth to something, it would be a whole lot better than a housewife in the world's view. If God was going to give birth to something, surely it would be more and better than a farmer or a painter. If God was going to give birth to something, surely God would give birth to the biggest PhD in the bunch and give birth to the doctors of the law. But oh, don't you realize it was such as that missed Jesus when he showed up. It was the doctors of the law that could not see the supernatural virgin birth of the Holy Ghost. It was the doctors and the smart men of the day that missed that promised word. Amen. Being manifested in that hour, that it was the Son of Man being revealed in their day, and they missed it altogether. And a prostitute said, thou art a prophet. God gave birth. God gave birth to those that didn't look like the greatest of the great. Why? God hides himself in simplicity. You understand, we're sitting here in this place like this. Some people would say we're playing church. We don't have an organization. We don't have some figurehead over top of us. Brother Cam and I don't have a master's in divinity and so forth like that. And brother don't have a doctorate of the law and theology of the Greek and the Hebrew. And where did you learn to preach? Well, just reading the Bible and listening to some tapes. And my, you don't have a whole lot, but when they look at us, oh my, they may not see a whole lot in it, but it's God hiding. Amen. God hiding inside that human vessel speaking out, thus saith the Lord from his word. Oh, I just wish people could understand its simplicity. I wish the people of this message could see it's the simplicity of God. Amen. Somebody help me. It's God in his simplicity that he hides himself and reveals himself in the same. My, the Lord of heaven and earth, he hid it from the devil. Satan in all of his shrewdness could not see that all of his choices that he was making was getting ready to walk right into the plan of God. And the devil was so smart, but yet so dumb, he could not see the reality of it. He was so educated, as we would think, and so intellectual, as we would think, that he was able to convince angels that had never smoked, never drank, never cursed, never committed adultery, never lied, never done any of that. He convinced them, oh my, to fall from their first estate, to follow him for a greater, more beautiful kingdom than that of Michael. But yet you realize that the devil could not see the real plan of God. When the devil started working his end and working his side of things and trying to make it as though, oh, I've got something over on God. What that dumb, stupid devil did not realize was that he was walking right into the plan of Almighty God. It was God had ordained him to be a devil. God had predestinated and created him to be the adversary that would bring out all of the fine qualities that laid inside the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. That it would bring out what he really was. That he was a healer, Brother Simon. That he was a Savior, that he was a Redeemer, that he was the Lord of glory, that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the devil didn't recognize he was working out right into the hands of Almighty God. And God hid it from him. He hid it in a bunch of elect angels that were just dumb enough but smart enough to say with the word. And he hid it from a bunch of angels that were smart enough but yet dumb enough to ignore the things of God and follow the devil. Oh, it's a paradox. You say, well, it doesn't mean much to me. Oh, but it should, because God in our everyday life. Now, I want you to listen to me. I believe we talk about third pool. We talk about speaking squirrels and storms and everything else in the world. But listen, I believe that God is working in the line of that third pool in our life every day. But yet we don't see it. Why? It's too simple. It's too simple. But I wonder today, children of God, if we got us a little book out and we started writing on a daily basis the little things that God has done for your life, the ways that he watched you where you didn't smack your thumb with a hammer when you was working on that renovation, and when you was out there working on electro, you didn't touch that hot wire. He kept you from getting electrocuted, or he kept you from this, or kept you from that. Oh my! If we wrote all of that down in a book, I wonder after a year's time if we'd be able to look back and say, God is working mightily in me. God is working mightily in my life. But we don't see it. Why? We're looking for angels to descend out of heaven. We're looking for creative power to speak squirrels into existence. We're looking for authority to tell storms to go away. But every day of our life, God is working every day. And we don't even see it. Why? It's just too simple. It's just too simple. That car accident that he kept you from. If you'd wrote that down in a book in a year's time, wonder how many he kept you from. Words, amen. You can say it. It ain't going to offend me or God. Praise the Lord, somebody. I said hallelujah, somebody. Amen. That time at work, you could have lost your arm. How many times did God keep His hand of mercy on you? How many times did He watch over you and send the angels of God down to camp about you? That whole mind that the devil could not destroy your life. How many times, if we wrote it down in a book, how many things could we praise Him for? I'm persuaded to believe what we're looking for is just not that advanced. It's just not that great. In the eyes of the world, what we call third pull is a simple, simple little thing. It's something so little and so tiny that most of the people will miss it in the message. It's going on right. I was in Arizona just a few weeks ago, and there was a brother on one of his vestibule walls. They put up testimonies each month, and the wall was full of testimonies. A little old church, about 40, 50 people, and they had testimony after testimony after testimony. I was sick in my body, and I needed to do such and such. And God sent down a healing touch for me. I just want to praise the Lord. And my neighbor, they were sick with cancer, but now they're cancer free. I want to ask you something, Napoleon, Ohio. If we're looking for God to move, where are we looking for Him to move at? He's all around us, moving at a great speed and in great power and great authority. But it's just so simple, we just don't see it. My, he said, God will hide Himself in something so simple. My, listen to this. It'll cause the wise to miss it a million miles. They're looking right at it and they can't even see it because it's too simple. They don't understand that this is the way God works, because Brother Bam tells us here, they think in their mind, because God is God and He's great, the omnipotent, all powerful, all authority, on and on and on. They think because God is great like that, that God wants man to come up to that place. Oh, but here's what I love about Him. Oh my, that He is that great and that powerful and has that much authority. But what makes me love Him so much is that He doesn't make me come up to Him. He come down to me. Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. He doesn't make me excel until I've got a brain that's so big and so smart, till I can rival God at His wits and His intelligence. But God said, don't you worry about that. I'll come down to you. He said, I'll talk your talk. Ooh, glory. I speak your language. If you say y'all, I'm going to say y'all. If you say I'm going to pack them to the store, carry them to the store, that's old Southern talk. Jesus said, I'll talk that way with you. I'll talk. If you want to talk smart, I'll talk that way with you. Oh, if we got every intellectual mind for the last 6,000 years together, they couldn't even figure out with their brain power how to create one blade of grass. His mind is so advanced beyond us, we'll never excel to that level to know the smarts of Almighty God. But He doesn't make us come up. He comes down. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Bam said he'd chop wood with the wood chopper. Woo! I'm talking about God, y'all. The Almighty, the Creator, He chopped wood with a wood chopper. He got down and He sat and had supper with the sinners. Oh my! He laid in the places of the lowly of the low. He made His reputation with sinners. He was considered a tramp on the street. And when they looked at Him, they didn't see much about Him. The Bible even said, as we'll read here in a little bit, the people even hid their faces from Him as it was. No beauty as we could desire of Him. Nothing to look on. Didn't look like one of the great big things. However, Judas, Brother Bam said, did look like the big handsome thing. And even so much, he had such a something about him. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, every disciple questioned each other and themselves before they ever picked out Judas. Why? Because he didn't look like the guy that was going to lose it. But that's a secret you got to learn. The ones that look like they got it, most of the time ain't got it. And the ones that look like they ain't got it, pretty much are the ones that's going to get it. Oh, yes, sir. As they say, opposites attract. Amen. Yes, sir. I didn't get my Holy Ghost because I've got such brains and such intellectual. I got it because I needed it. Amen. I needed it. I had nothing else going for me. I needed His holy power to live inside of my heart. Oh, I feel good this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Many times they miss him by the way he reveals himself. Watch this. Man has her own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. So they've got their own thoughts, their own ideas. Well, I think and I feel and I believe and I this and I that. And yet, the very thing that man chooses, that's the very thing God says, oh, y'all going to go that way? Okay, I'll go this way then. And many times he'll take the opposite just to let us know who's boss. Woo, glory. Should have been a few more amens on that. Yes, sir. Oh, you know exactly what I'm telling you. How many times did you make a decision and you said, this is the way God will go? And when God reveals it, it's completely contrary to what you thought it was going to be. Why? He's the one in charge. That's why. Oh, yes, sir. How many times, Brother Cam, Brother Simon, you preacher brothers in here, come up here to the platform and walk behind this desk and think, glory to God, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to tell them that, and then I'm going to preach this, and woo, we're going to shout on this part, and then we're going to cry over here. And then you get up, and the Holy Ghost takes you in an entirely different direction than what you expected. Oh, thank God that God is so simple that he knows how to take a man any direction that he needs to go. Oh, my, that he doesn't have to stick to the program. Oh yeah, I've never been a program guy. I've never been a man. Don't hand me an itinerary, I won't follow it. If you tell me to preach 45 minutes, I'm going to preach an hour. Huh? Exactly right. Why? I will not be under the thumb of any program or itinerary. I'll follow the Holy Spirit. You say it sounds awful arrogant. No, I'm just acting like my daddy. Yes, sir. When Jesus, them men said, don't you pick corn on the Sabbath day. He looked at the disciples and said, y'all go out and pick corn on the Sabbath day. Why? Showing him, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, he said. Amen. Glory. He said, was it not written that David, when he hungered, went into the temple of the Lord and took of the showbread? God is his own boss. He don't need our help running the world, and he don't need my help running my life. Glory! Amen. My life is in his hands, and he will guide me all the days of my life. But when I look for him, where am I looking? My mother and I sang a song for years and years and years and years. If you're looking for God, where will you find him? Do you look in the palaces of a king? Do you look in temples so tall? No, the song says you look in things that are humble and small. That's where God's hiding at. It's in them little places that nobody's looking for. That's where Jesus is hiding, in a pocket of simplicity. Woo, glory! He's hiding in that little whistle stop. That little, oh, glory. Amen! He's hiding in that little parentheses of life. Oh, my. Brother Bam said, man has her own ideas. He said, I've always made the old statement many times, man still remains man. He's always giving God praise for what he did do. Always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing right now. Why? Because it's easy to look back and say, God did it. God did it. Amen. God did it. Look ahead. Yes, God is going to do. Praise the Lord. God's going to do. But what is he doing right now? I don't know. That's man. That's man. They can look in the Bible and they can argue with you whether or not it was a sea of reeds or it was a real sea that Moses and them passed through. They can argue about future events. He's coming on a cloud, coming on a horse, coming this way, coming that way. But when it comes to what God's doing right now, listen to me, Napoleon, Ohio, I thank God for what he did do. I thank God for what he's going to do. But I do not want to be guilty in this message of missing what he's doing right this very moment. Amen. I want to be able to have my eyes wide open to look into the promise of the Word and see what's God doing right now, this very moment. Because that's where many people miss him. We come to church in a building like this. We sit down 15, 20, 25 of us. We look around. We think, oh my, we're not much. No, that's right. But in that little pocket, in that little mission on the corner, that's where God's hiding at. I guarantee if you visited every Catholic church in the state of Ohio and in the United States, you wouldn't find him. If you went to every Baptist you could find, you won't find him. You go to Presbyterians, you won't find him. You say, but God's in there. The rain might be in there, but God's never failing presence is not in them systems. Because the Bible already told us in Revelation chapter 3, he is standing on the outside, knocking, trying to get back here. Well, if he's not in them out there, then tell me where God's at today. Oh, I declare to you, he is here. Not in the great spire up on the hill, not in the great cathedral on the corner, but God is in the little mission right here in Napoleon, Ohio. Amen. Oh, gets me wanting to speak another language when I go to talking this way. He's here, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here. Not a million miles off, not in the future, not in the past. Right now. God, right now, right here amongst us is the bride. Amen. Amen, amen. Standing right here. Man always giving praise. They can say, oh, God did through Moses. And God is going to do through Elijah and Moses in the future. But they miss what God's doing right now. That's why many of them don't come to church. That's why many of them don't read their Bible. Ooh, come on, same Holy Ghost, I'm preaching. Come on. Why many of them don't have love for their neighbor? Why they still harbor bitterness? Why? They can't see God sitting here amongst the congregation. If you could see God was in this little human vessel this morning speaking out to you by the influence and inspiration of the Holy Ghost, what would be limited to you if you could recognize this is God? If you recognize and latched on to what I'm preaching to you is the promise of the Word of the living God. Oh, you say, but the majority won't get it. Don't worry, the majority ain't going to be in heaven either. Woo, that rung. Yes, sir, only the elected of God will walk them streets of gold and live in the city with their King. So your personal walk is your personal walk. Don't worry about the masses, what they think. The masses won't make it. The masses will wind up in the lake of fire to be judged by Almighty God and the saints of God sitting in the throne. The masses will never get it, but it's you and I we got to worry about. I don't want to miss what God's doing right now. And can I see with spiritual eyesight? I want to ask you this morning to open your eyes and recognize, can you see God's in this little place right now? What would be limited to us? What could be hindered from us receiving everything we've ever asked God for? Everything we've ever promised that God we would do and that God would promise He would do for us. What could be limited to you and I if we could recognize God is in this building right now? Oh my, everything we ever had need of, we could throw ourselves at His feet and say, Lord, Thou art the God of the heavens and the earth, and I give my heart to You. But we limit ourselves sometimes, and you know why we limit ourselves? Because we just don't think God is in this simple little dwelling. But if I can recognize God's in this simple little old human house right here, that a piece, Brother Bart, of God Himself, a little sliver of God that was broke apart beginning at the day of Pentecost, and for 2,000 years, that little sliver, that little button, the prophet called it, is living inside of my heart. If I could recognize that is the Creator, oh my, hallelujah. If I could recognize, amen, oh, hallelujah. If I could recognize that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, tell me what would be impossible to me if I could believe that. My, ignoring what He's doing right now, ignoring it. Not that they don't see it, but they ignore it. Many times man sees it right in front of him, but he turns his eye from it because it doesn't come through their system of belief. Doesn't come through their system of theology. You say that ain't around the ranks, you should have said as far as you know it is. People in this message, they want the message to come their way. And you listen to me, it'll come to pass one day that people out of this message will go to hell because they have become their own absolute. What they think is what they think. What they feel is what they feel. What they believe is what they believe. And they believe that what they believe is the standard for everything else. But there's only one standard. There's only one absolute. And that's this Bible right here. Amen and hallelujah and glory to God. Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie, but let mine be the truth. Amen.
And let everything fall at the feet of the risen Lord Jesus. Everything fails in his precious sight. Amen, amen. But people have their own ideas of things, their own ways. I think, I feel, I believe, I this, I that, I that. They're going to go to hell because they become their own absolute. I don't go to heaven because I think or I feel or I believe. I go to heaven because God recognized my faith was right. And God sealed, not me sealed, God sealed my soul with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Like I told a little group last night, a message group, just a brand new bunch forming out of some circumstances that arose, like I told them last night. From many people looking that Jesus came in 1963. I said, praise God, he came and he's coming. I said, because one thing is for sure, I cannot take myself out of here. So somebody's got to come get me. I cannot take myself out of here in a rapture, so somebody's got to come after me. But I think, I feel, Jesus has already come, so we don't take communion. We're already in a millennium. We're this, we're that, we're the other. We can live any way we want to. There's a certain church down in Fairborn, Ohio, that started preaching that there's no more sin for the bride of Christ. You want to drink, you can drink. Commit adultery, commit adultery. You want to lie, lie. But you're already justified in the presence of God. I said, you're justified, all right, but not as a Christian, but as a sinner that needs the Holy Ghost. And it ain't just the people of the church, the men and the women, but it's the preachers and the pastor and the rest of them practicing free love and free sin. What a time he wrought to the marks of this message when the prophet of God said, keep all the smut off of this message. And yet people will look at those groups like that and they will condemn this message over a bunch of hypocrites that don't want to live what's right. Oh, but I want to say to you this morning, there is a true group of God. If there is a counterfeit, there must be a real, and there is a bride this morning that will live this word to the letter. Practice a bunch of filth in the name of this message. They'll wind up in hell because they have become their own absolute. Show them quotes, they'll twist your quotes. Show them scriptures, they'll try to interpret your scriptures. You can't show them nothing. Why? Because the blind lead the blind. They all fall in the ditch. But they look at us and they can't figure out what's wrong with us. But I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We're simple. We're not looking for no great big something. We just want to be in love with Jesus. Oh, glory! We just want to be in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. I said this a few weekends ago. Allow me to say it here at the church here in Napoleon. I said, if when I get to heaven, it ain't nothing but a cardboard box on an old muddy street, as long as Jesus is there, that'll be heaven for me. Glory to God. If I get there and it's an adobe hut and there ain't no air conditioning and there ain't no Diet Pepsi and there ain't no soft bed, as long as Jesus is there, amen, that's what makes it heaven for me. I'm not going to heaven, Brother Kev, because of streets of gold and gates of pearl. I'm not going to heaven because of an angel choir. I'm going because I love Him. Because I love Him and I want to spend the rest of my day in love with the Lord Jesus. I love Him, therefore I want to be in love with Him the rest of my days. Hallelujah. It's hard for people because, Brother Ben, you see, that's just too simple. But isn't that what the prophet of God told us? In these seven seals and the opening of these seals, He said, don't make yourself odd. Don't make yourself strange. Don't reach out for some supernatural thing. Just be a Christian. I wish people in the ranks of this message would get back to that simple truth right there. Just be a Christian. Just love God. Love your neighbor. Love the Word. Love your pastor. Love the church. Love worship for God. If we could get back to that, more revelation would flow into our lives than what is. Because God ain't going to reveal it to a stuffed shirt and know it all. Woo! Praise the Lord. Preach, Brother Ben. Amen. I will. I'm going to preach it to you, all right? But I want you to be able to say amen to it, too. God ain't going to reveal it to no stuffed shirt and know-it-all little smart brat that thinks he knows everything about everything. God wants a baby. Woo, glory. He don't want somebody that while you're preaching in the congregation, you say, Brother Bram said 1948. And then they're sitting there saying, no, Brother Ben, it was 1953. Brother Branham said, No, Brother Bennett was not. Huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God ain't looking for no smart aleck like that. He's looking for a baby. There were some people back home in the church testified many years ago, so they used to count. See how many times the preacher said, Brother Branham, how many times he said Jesus. I said, don't worry, you'll never see the revelation no how. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's not looking for no smart, lucky little old thing to try to figure out this and figure out that and put two and two together and make it four. That's not the kind of person the Holy Ghost is going to reveal His truth to. He's going to reveal it to somebody that's just sitting there with an open heart and saying, I don't care if He says, Brother Branham, 10,746,000 times, and He says, Jesus, 1,574,365 times. I just want to find out what's true. Amen. I want to know what's right. I want to know what is truth by the Word. Because there might be nights that I might say Brother Branham's name more than I'd say Jesus. And there might be nights that I'll say Jesus' name more than I say Brother Branham. What difference does it make as long as you got an open heart and hearing what's being preached? Hello? What difference does it make whether you read one quote or 30 quotes? Well, you know, he only read two quotes tonight. Wasn't a very spiritual Wednesday night. What difference does that make? Well, he only read 14 scriptures. He only read 15 and a half last week, but this week was 14. He's about 1.5 less spiritual this week than he was the week before. God ain't going to reveal His truth to nobody like that. He's wanting somebody with an open heart that ain't sitting there with a measuring stick to try to get the gospel based on the way they want it. But they don't care how it comes. Just let me get it. Glory to God. Don't matter if he's got a country accent or a northern accent or a Canadian accent or from a foreign country somewhere or another. All they want out of this truth in the last day is just preach the truth to me. Let me say amen to the word. Hallelujah. Brother Bram said that's what happens. They ignore what he's going to do. The way they miss him is because they see the great thing he done, but fail to see the simple thing he used to do it. They look forward to a great thing coming, and 9 times out of 10, it's already happening, and it's so simple they don't even know it. Well, praise the Lord. You know, Brother Ben, Brother Bram said 45 minutes, and you preached 46 minutes and 35 seconds. Well, don't worry. You ain't going to get no revelation out of 46 minutes and 35 seconds anyhow. If I preach 7 hours and 45 minutes and 35 seconds, you wouldn't get nothing out of it. Why? Because your heart's not a babe. You got to be teachable. You got to be instructable. You can't sit there in the seat of the scornful and want the gospel to come your way. Oh, if he'd preach it this way, or if he would say it this way, let God say what he wants to say, when he wants to say it, and how he wants to say it. I had a man come to me not long ago and look me right in the face and said, Brother Ben, I want to help you in your ministry. I said, okay. He said, when you goad the people on to say amen, he said, you're putting them down and making them feel bad about themselves. I said, my God, the one that I'm worried about making feel bad is Jesus. But them old long Pharisee faces sitting in the house of God and the Holy Spirit anointing me to preach the truth, and they're so dead and so cold, you could put them in a Methodist church and have motion sensor lights and the lights would turn out on them because they don't never move. Hallelujah! Yes, sir, that's what I'm worried about. It's a bunch of people that ain't got no joy, ain't got no power, ain't got no authority in the Holy Ghost, and ain't got enough about them that they can even say amen to the word. But you see what it's become, the age we're living in. Don't offend the people. Don't hurt the people. Don't say, you know what, because everybody's got their own taste. They want you to give it to them the way they want to get it. And if you look at them when you're preaching, they'll get mad at you. They'll stomp out of the church and never come back. And they'll say, he looked right at me when he preached that. Well, evidently, the Holy Ghost knew I need to get you eyeball to eyeball or I wouldn't have looked at you. Oh, no! But what I'm talking about is let God do what God wants to do. Right? But we've become such cowards and sissies and so babyfied. We got to have a preacher say it to us politically correct. And if we're talking to the people, we've got to say it in a politically correct manner. And we can't raise our voice and shout it to people and holler at them and say, come on now. That's not politically correct. See, I'm out of order, so I've got to calm myself and talk in a lower tone. Because, see, you're adults. You're grown adults. And it doesn't do me any good to preach to you like that because you're an adult. I can't yell at you and tell you to sit down and shut up and all that kind of stuff. Because, you see, we're adults. And I got to treat you like adults. And yet the Bible said that Jesus took a bunch of cords and beat them adults out of the temple and turned their tables upside down. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but sometimes Jesus doesn't always treat you like an adult when you're acting like a baby. Oh, yes, sir. When you're acting like a spoiled brat, you get treated like a spoiled brat. Whew. Preach, Jesus. I can say amen. Right. 9 times out of 10, it's already happening. Isaiah 35, the Bible said that the way is so simple that a fool could not err therein. Over the past few months, I don't know why this has been. Maybe just something the Lord's letting me see. I think maybe maybe even confirm that this message of simplicity is on the right track. Sometimes the Lord will do things for you to let you know you're on the right move, you know. And over the past few months, there's been a lot of compliments come from children 7, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. They say, you know, that's something about Brother Ben. We can understand everything he's preaching to us. At first, I was a little offended about that, and I thought, Lord, am I that pitiful? You know, I thought, well, I'm going to have to get to studying and bear down or something. I thought, as much as I study as it is, I don't know how I could study any deeper. But then I realized the God that was inside of my heart has given me the kind of grace to break it down so simple that the young ones are beginning to pick up. And I realized it wasn't an insult, it was a compliment. As I said last night to this little group down there in Dayton over in Middletown side, I told them last night, and I believe this is right, when a man gets done preaching mysteries of God, it should not be a bigger mystery when he's done than what it was when he started. Amen. Hello, somebody. It should be simple. The common people heard Jesus gladly. Oh, it should be so simple that a fool couldn't err in it. Woo, glory! If a fool was looking at it, he ought to be saying, well, that's the way right there. It shouldn't be something so complicated that you can't figure it out. It should be so easy that it'd be easy for anybody to figure this out. But we've complicated things based on our own ideas and arms of interpretation, and we've tried to, you know, fashion and do things in a way that it's the way we want to do it and so forth, and we've made it so complicated that when somebody wants to get saved, you just can't tell them how to get saved. There's 7,000 things you got to do before they can even get saved. So before they can get saved, they got to learn about the cloud, they got to learn about the church ages, they got to learn about the Gentile dispensation, they got to learn about the coming of the Holy Ghost, the wall of partition between the believer, them that are afar off, them that are close, them that are called, them that are peculiar, them that are chosen, them that are on the book, off the book, blotted off the book, put in there before the foundation of the world. You can't just be saved anymore, Brother Cam. You've got to go to a college education of things in the message before you can even get saved. I'm not even talking about the Holy Ghost. I just mean saved. No wonder people around the message don't have any idea how to even get saved. Can I show you how easy the Holy Ghost is? All you women in here that's had babies, put your hand up, please. Did you notice none of y'all had to stop and think about it? Did you notice nobody had to say, honey, did I? Let's try it again and see if it worked. All you sisters that's had babies, put your hands up. Look how quickly. Nobody can talk you out of that, can they? You know why? You had the experience. You were there when it happened, so I guess you ought to know. Nobody can talk you out of it because you had an experience. Back in July, maybe July or August, which one, I was at a camp up in Ontario, and I could not believe the young people writing in question, how do I know when I'm saved? How do I know when I got the Holy Ghost? That's how this message was born. I got to thinking to myself, what have we done as preachers to make this so complicated till people don't even know whether they got the Holy Ghost or not? Let me show you how complicated it is to get the Holy Ghost. You ready? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You want me to explain it to you? All right, here we go. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. how complicated. But you say, but Brother Ben, that's just too simple. And yet, in that parentheses of simplicity, that's where God dwells. It's just that simple, but we've made it so great. The Bible said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But we don't make it that simple. We make it, oh, if you confess, and then we go into the subconscious, and then we go into the inner man, then we go to the outer man, and by the time they get done getting ready to confess, they've got so many men to deal with, they don't even know which man's doing the confessing. Praise the Lord, somebody. I'm talking about God in simplicity. Make it what it is. Make it simple. Brother Bannon said three musts that we must not do, and one of them is we must not interpret His Word. I wonder how many people in this message need to revisit that statement. Huh? Because we've got 10,000 interpreters in this message, Brother Smith, but we only got one Holy Ghost. Huh? There's only one Holy Ghost that's supposed to be interpreting this truth to our hearts, but yet we got 10,000 men. Every one of them's got the truth, and every one of them are right. May I say again, as Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie, let mine be the truth. There's only one that's right. That's this word right here. This word is what's right. Oh, I think and I feel. Ah, there we go again. Now we've complicated it to a man can't even confess with the Lord Jesus' his own mouth. So we get him to say it, and then say it, and then say it, and then say it, and then we judge whether they said it right or not. Well, I don't think you were sincere. Let God be the judge of such a thing. The Bible said, confess with your mouth. You confess with your mouth. What else is there for you to do? God either honors His word or God doesn't honor His word. It's that simple. Hello, somebody. He said, repent and be baptized. It's just as easy. Did you repent? Lord, y'all getting quiet as a Baptist on me now. Huh? Hallelujah. All you got to do is repent. Well, you say, I repented. All right. Then get ready for the Holy Ghost. But Brother Ben, that scares me because what you're saying is just so, what? Simple. Ah. But in that parenthesis of simplicity, that's where God dwells. You see, we take the word into our hearts, and then after we get the word in our hearts, we can't just let God make it grow. Once we get the word inside of us, we have to help God. Lord, I may have to end up preaching without you for a few minutes, but that's all right. Hallelujah. Yes. We get in our minds, well, glory to God, it's this way and it's that way. And Lord, why don't we just say, God, you promised in your word that they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It's that simple. Yeah. Was hands laid on you? Yes. Are you sick? Yes. Then you shall recover. Amen. Oh, you know why you're getting quiet? Because it's just too simple. It's profound, you think. You see, that's what we've done in this message, is what I'm trying to tell you. Brother Branham had one shot, one chance to preach a message before he opened up them seals and opened up the services. I mean to say when the lambs opened the seals, of course. But I'm saying when Brother Branham started them services, he had one opportunity to choose any message he wanted. And the man had been preaching 30 years by the time the seals come open. And the message he chose to forerun the seven seals was God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing in the same. You tell me why he chose it. Oh, I know God may have chosen, but you tell me why Brother Branham felt that that was a proper opening to the seven seals. Because when the seals come open, and I remember when I was a young man first studying it, and I first started looking at the seals, I was a teenager, just been preaching a year or so. And I started really digging into the seals, and I go through the first seal. Brother Branham talked about predestination, serpent seed, and all these things that I already knew about. I thought, okay. And he come to the seal, and he said, here's the seal. That white horse rider was the devil. And you see, it was hard for me to accept that simplicity because I was looking for so much more than just that simple revelation. Uh-huh. Which is what a lot of people have done. That's the reason they've got so many fandangled doctrines coming out of these things. Because when they see Brother Branham say, I've got the revelation now, the red horse rider. It was the devil. And people think, but God put you in a constellation of a cloud? God caused the mountains to be cut off and a sonic boom and sent angels back to the earth just for you to come back and tell us one sentence revelation? But you understand that simplicity, that little parenthesis of simplicity. Glory. That's where God was hiding at. Because there's so much attached to those little simple revelations. And it just, once you get through the door of simplicity, it all starts opening up to you. But you've got to get through the door of simplicity first. Oh, I wish somebody would help me this morning. That's how you get into the Word. He comes to the seventh seal. He opens it up and starts reading. And there was a silence and for heaven in the space of half an hour. It goes on just a little bit. Brother Branham said, now I'm not going to interpret this. Listen to the questions and answers. Brother Branham, when you were saying such and such and so, was you saying, did you notice in the questions and answers during those seals, how many of these crazy questions kept coming up? You know why? People were looking for everything else except for the simplicity of what was being preached. Ooh, I imagine they looked at him about like some of y'all looking at me right now. But Brother Ben, that's not profound. That's not, isn't it? If you really knew the truth of what's laying underneath those simple things, the revelation that lays underneath them gets so advanced and so complicated, it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal it to you. And yet that complicated something is so simple, a child can understand it. Praise the Lord. Well, what is the mystery of the third pull? It's the third pull. It comes after the second. Amen. Ooh, Lord, y'all are getting real quiet on me now. Right? You see what we've done? We've made things so complicated that we can't get any deeper into the things of God. Turn me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. Let me read to you something. It just comes to my mind now. Let's pull open the Bible, 2 Corinthians, and look at something here. Let me just show you. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to pick up, I believe it's chapter 3. No. I told you wrong. Not 3. Let me skip over here. 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Watch here, verse 1. Would to God you bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And who corrupts that simplicity? The devil. Satan corrupts simplicity by doing what? Made it complicated. So that when we make the rapture, we have to have all of these supernatural algebraic components. Amen. And it's not just as simple as have being a Christian. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you get that lesson down, that's Jesus' first doctrine. And many of the people in this message don't even have that doctrine down. Many of the preachers in this message don't even have that doctrine down. But you say, Brother Ben, but I'm looking for something deeper than that. Are you? Are you really? Is it any more complicated than that? Maybe this would explain the reason why that in your own life and in your own walk with God, you're looking for all these great supernatural, overwhelming things to happen day and night. I may never raise the dead, but if I can raise my arm in church and worship God, that's a better resurrection than raising the dead, if that means that I can get going. A lot of people want to raise the dead, but they won't even raise their hands in church. So how do they expect to raise the dead? Ooh, glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. That come real fresh. Ooh, glory. Right. But that's the simplicity of God. the simplicity of Christ. So simple that if they could only understand how simple he really was. Ooh, that was a dandy. Boy, that's like a nugget rolled right underneath the veil, wasn't it? But that's right. They want all of these great profound things to fall at their feet. But they don't want to do the simple things. Remember, the prophet of God said, it's not the big things we try to do. It's these little things we leave undone. Right. Praise the Lord. Some men want to save their marriage, but they don't want to tell their wife they love them. Some women want to save their marriage, but they don't want to cook apple pies. I've quoted this to you before, but I'm going to quote it again. So buckle up and listen. I'm coming on again. Brother Branham in discernment told that woman, said she was having problems in her home and she was devil possessed and on and on and on. He goes in vision and says, ma'am, he said, I saw you, lady. He said, you was at one time a wonderful housekeeper. He said, but now what you need to do is go home and clean up that hog pen. Profound, right? Deep. So deep you can't understand it, right? He said, and then cook your husband an apple pie about that thick. The other week I quoted that and a brother came to me and said, don't forget cherry, Brother Ben. I said, well, cherry or apple, either one. Apple pies are great marriage savers. Brother Ben told her everything would be all right. Cook your husband an apple pie about that thick, crawl up in his lap, kiss him, tell him you love him. And he said, everything will be all right. But you said, Brother Ben, that's just too... But yet it's those things that people divorce over. Because she cleans up the house, he leaves his dirty socks on the floor. Woo, glory. I'm going to definitely have to preach without some of you now. There's no kindness, there's no love, there's no appreciation. It's them simple little things. And yet we want God to come down and fix marriages and fix homes and fix problems in the home when we are too stubborn and too hard-hearted to simply just sit down at the end of the day, turn our telephone off or slide it over and sit down and say, how was your day today? You said, Brother Ben, it couldn't be that, what? What was you going to say there? Simple? But it is. This is what Paul was telling us right here, Brother Camp. Your mind's corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Listen at most of our message preachers. They preach in such a manner that the average Joe cannot be saved until they come in and get a message education. You understand that? I want to be the kind of preacher, brother, that no matter where I go in this message, I want to present the gospel and present Christ in such a way till anybody could walk through those back doors right there and hear what I'm preaching and feel a tug at their heart to want to give their heart to the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 If I preach it in such a way, and I preach it in a way, Brother Fred, where it's, oh, it's got to be this thing and that thing, and people sitting there in the pew thinking, well, how do I get saved anyways? So to get saved, I got to go and do this thing and that. What do I have to do to be saved? I know that doesn't seem deep, but it's the little parentheses of simplicity where God dwells at. Brother Bam said, we stumble over simplicity. Stumble over simplicity. So, for example, up here, some of you may have never seen it, but they've got the wire taped down here. That's to keep the brothers like me from jerking your foot and over you go. And they do this for the protection. But here, this little piece of tape right here, right across this little spot, that's God. And as I'm walking, I've got my eyes on a certain goal. I'm going to get an education, get married, do this thing, do that thing. And I'm walking along on my own vision. And I hit that little spot of God and stumble over it. Now, if I don't stop and look and investigate what that was that got in my way, I'll ignore it, turn around and keep going in my own direction, and I'll miss the very thing that was God down there the whole time. Because the prophet said they stumble over simplicity. They stumble over it. Why? They've got their mind focused on what they want and what they think. This is why when we present the gospel to our children, moms and dads, We have to be the type of men and women that we break it down to their level so that they can understand the simple love of God Himself. You don't know how many times, and I've told you this before, many times I've told you this, you don't know how many times the people that come to me from around the world and ask me about things in this message that they can't go to anybody else and ask, one of the first things I hear, they just don't know if God really loves them or not. You know why? Because we've preached God at such a level up here, we failed to make Him a man that fell in love with the people. We failed to make Him a human being. Because I want to be in love with Jesus, the man, not Jesus, the doctrine. Amen? I want to be in love with Jesus, the man, not Jesus, the doctrine. But what are our children going to think as they come up? Are they even going to recognize the love of God in their own heart, that God even loves them? Listen to my wife's testimony sometimes after we got married and she realized she didn't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. About a year into our marriage, sanctified woman, holy woman, God told me to marry her and I love her and I don't regret a mile I've ever traveled with her. But after about a year of being married, she recognized that she hadn't really went far enough, that the Lord had never sealed her soul right. And she was sitting in the parking lot of my work getting ready to pick me up one day, and she was reading That Day on Calvary. And she recognized that God's love, Jesus, had died for her sins. Here's a girl raised up in the message. By this time, 20 years, 21 years of age, I think it was. And by this time, 20 years sitting in a message church. And the revelation of the love of God had never struck her soul in the right way. And when it did, the Holy Ghost came into the car and gave her the seal of the Holy Ghost. And that settled it right forever. I'm going to tell you something, brother. It wasn't a doctrine she met. It was a revelation that God, the man, loves her. Amen. Brother, that's what our children need. That's what our churches need. The prophet of God said the world is dying for a real dose of the genuine love of God. But they're not going to get it when we make it so complicated. That's the reason the spirit of perfection exists amongst the people, is because they feel like in order for God to love them, they've got to be perfect. But that's the beauty of it. You don't have to be perfect for God to love you. You can be imperfect. You can be full of mistakes and failures and be the lowest of the low and make mistakes so many times you just say you're sorry more than you say I love you. And God still loves you. Amen. Amen. God still loves the bride of Jesus Christ. But I fear, Paul said, I fear. You never hear Paul use these terms in any place in the Bible. When he got bit by the snake, you never heard him say, I'm afraid I'll die. Huh? When Agabus tied his hands up and said, you're going to Jerusalem, be bound. You never heard Paul said, I'm scared to death, I don't want to go. When he looked at the death chop block sitting out there, you never heard Paul said, oh God, help me, I'm so scared. But when it came to this, Paul said, I fear. Oh God, don't you understand what the devil's done to our minds? He's corrupted us from the simplicity of the gospel. When it comes to divine healing, we can't just have faith and believe God can heal us. We've got to go through a 14-step process before we can get there. I don't mean no harm. I'm trying to be honest and tell you the truth this morning, as God would help me. But it's the simplicity of the gospel that's going to get us there. Oh my, how was this message delivered to us? In simplicity. Oh, there's deep things in this message. It takes God and a lot of study and things to understand. But when God really reveals Him deep things to you, a lot of times they're so simple you can't believe you missed it in the first place. Everybody talks about Daniel's 70 weeks is a good example of it. Everybody, oh, Daniel's 70 weeks is so complicated, so complicated, so complicated. No, it's not. It's the simplicity of understanding what Brother Bam was trying to bring, the purpose of what he was trying to bring. But what happens, people get caught up on numbers and dates and timelines and this thing and that thing. And the whole part of the Daniel 70 weeks, what they cannot see is this was God's whole plan of getting sweet little Israel back in His arms again. It is no more or no less any harder or more difficult than that. And one prophecy after another pointed to one thing. He's got Israel in the palms of His hands, and He's trying to win Israel back after He saves this Gentile bunch. But it's complicated, see? Future home of the heavenly bridegroom, earthly bride. What is the degrees of the incline of the new city? I don't care as long as I'm there. Any of y'all sisters ever had your husband take you one of them beautiful hotels, you know what I'm talking about, and everything's just so-so, and they got mint pillows, mints on the pillow, and the whole thing. Ever been to one of those things, sister? You ever take, brothers, you need to take you women out more. Sam, raise your arm. I know I've taken you a few of them places. Now, you understand, when you go in there and you sit down and you look at this beautiful, I mean, I'm talking beautiful, everything's just exactly right. You can even see the lines in the carpet where they've just freshly vacuumed. Do you walk in there and say, why did they use Berber? I would have used a different type of carpet if I was going to put this in here. Why did they paint that yellow instead of blue? You understand, if you've got a grateful heart, you don't care if it's Berber or shag. Well, at least smile at me. If you ain't going to say nothing, at least grin. Huh? If you got a grateful attitude, you're not in there going, wonder why they use dark chocolate instead of milk chocolate. You're just thankful there's chocolate there. Now, if a need arises and you need to understand the yellow and the blue, that's different. But most of the time, the stuff we want to know isn't because we need to know it. Well, hallelujah. And this is where the church gets quiet, rest of the service. It's not because we need to know it. It's because we want to know it. What's the purpose? Oh, I just want to know. Why? What are you going to do with it once you learn it? Maybe that's the reason God ain't showing it to you. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. God is so simple. Just a little farther, we're going to quit. Until the scholars of these days miss him a million miles. Why? Because of their intellects, Brother Bram said. They know there's nothing like him so great, but in his revelation, he makes it so simple, it goes plumb over the top of it and miss it. He said, now study that. You people visiting here, go to your motel rooms and things and ponder those. He said, when you get together, whatever you're studying or staying, gather together and study over it. That's what we're doing this morning. He said, they miss him by the way he reveals himself. So great, yet hides himself in simplicity. He said, don't try to get the great because he goes over the top of that. But listen to the simplicity of God and you'll find God right here in the simple way. Praise the Lord. My. Listen to this. We're so smart and educated in our churches till we can build $1 million buildings, $10 million buildings. Try to outdo the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, and all have gotten the rat race too. Thing of it is, we're so smart and set on our ways until we fail to humble ourselves to realize that God is in the little mission on the corner. Brother Bam said, that's right. We stumble in simplicity. And they, he said, they've always done it. Praise the Lord. But I wonder, are we just missing things because they're too simple? Because they don't look like it's God? It doesn't look like it's a certain thing? Is that the reason we miss it? Like I said, get a book. Start writing down every little part. You've been working on your house. 4 years it took me to renovate a house. Like to killed me. I look back over the whole thing and I used to pray, God, just give me the permission to burn this thing to the ground and we'll start all over from the beginning. You talk about difficult. My wife had told me when we got started that she'd read one of them handyman books. One of the biggest causes of divorce was renovation. We just got started renovating. I said, thank you. I said, what are you trying to tell me anyway, Sam? But after we got started, I never realized how difficult it was. And you know what the Holy Spirit revealed to me? God makes all things beautiful in His time. That's right. But you know what the problem was? That was too simple for me to receive. And I kept looking for all this supernatural help. You know what I realized? You can renovate an entire house one nail at a time. One screw at a time. One piece of drywall at a time. One electrical wire at a time. Sure, there might be 940 more, but you got that one done, didn't you? And then you move on to the next, move on to the next. Really, it's not complicated. It's just a matter of moving from one step to another. But we complicate things. Why? Why do we make them complicated? Because that's human nature. Always looking for the grandiose and the big and the elaborate. Look at our people today. Why do you think Hollywood has such a pull on the majority of the people in this world today? Because they paint pictures that don't exist. Like I've told you before about the Ten Commandments. Moses standing there, his hair blowing in the wind, his robe blowing, a sheen on his hair. Moses probably didn't even look like Cecil DeMille's interpretation of Moses. He probably didn't look like Charlton Heston. He probably didn't look like some of these guys. He probably wasn't a Tom Selleck and a Tom Cruise and all these guys. Probably didn't even look like a superstar. As a matter of fact, if you were looking around trying to search for the real Moses in a crowd of people, you probably would have passed him over. Because he probably didn't look much like a deliverer. We could read it, but we don't have time. But in the book of Isaiah, when the Bible said we beheld him, we hid as it was our faces from him. Why? So simple. In the human mind, it was beyond what we would think what God would look like. And if people didn't look at him like he was God, oh, but when he opened his mouth and spoke, glory, God hid himself, God revealed himself in the same. Don't you understand? This is how God brings forth his revelation. Listen to me, message people. Have we become so complicated and become so advanced that we have forgotten how simple that the truth of this word really is? I was reading just the other day. Brother Bam was burning these denominations up and these bobbed-haired women up and things. And you'd read a page and Brother Bam would say a few words and hit the women. Read another page, he'd hit the women. Read another page, he'd hit the women. He'd done that for 5 or 6 pages right in a row. And I thought, yeah. Now to see the way the rest of the world looks on something like that, they would think that man didn't have any understanding or any love toward women. He was a woman hater. But when God translated him beyond the curtain of time, the first thing that met him was women with long hair running and screaming, "Our precious brother, our precious brother." It may not have looked like to the world like he was doing much, but you realize what was happening? God in his simplicity was saving a lot of women from a road to hell because they were cutting their prayer line off. And sister, I don't care if you take fingernail clippers to it. I don't care if you burn it off with a curling iron. The minute you affect your glory and shorten it, you're cutting it. And when you do, your prayers won't get through the roof. Until you repent. Amen. That's Bible doctrine. But that's too simple. So when they read, the church has no such custom as Paul said. If any man think himself contentious, we have no custom. So instead of them going to the hair, they go to this thing and that thing and this thing and this interpretation, that interpretation. God said, Moses, take off your shoes. Lord, I think maybe the hat. No, Moses, shoes. When you read the Bible in Corinthians, it says hair. Not hat. Hair. But why is it hard for people to get that? Because... go ahead, you know what I'm going to say, so just say it. It's just too simple. But you mean to tell me that's God? It's God. That little parenthesis of simplicity, that's where God dwells. You understand that 99% of every experience Brother Branham had, he had it while he was just simply praying and talking to the Lord. Did you ever think of it? He's out hunting. And we don't hear Brother Branham going out on these stories and telling us, oh, I was trying to consider this and I was reconciling that. You hear Brother Branham say, I was out hunting the other day. And I was just thinking on the scripture, whatsoever things you say. He was just meditating, just as a Christian would do. Thinking on the things of the word. And all of a sudden, here come the Holy Ghost. Woo! And said, you're hunting. You want some game. Speak it and it'll be so. Why did that happen? Because that little parenthesis of simplicity is where Brother Branham lived. And nobody's going to understand this message unless they get in between the parentheses with him. That's why they can't understand this truth. Because it's just too simple for them. God help me. God help me. not to ignore those simple little things that mean so much to men like us. Because God knows if He makes it so easy that a fool can't err therein, then if I'm erring, then I'm less than a fool. Huh? Something's wrong with my experience and my brain for that matter. If I can look down in the Word of God and I can't see it in its right way, something's wrong somewhere. You understand marriage and divorce, all right? I'm not pastoring here trying to be interject doctrine. I just want to make a simple point. Marriage and divorce, if a woman marries a man, they're married. If he leaves that woman for any cause saving fornication, marries another, he causes her to commit adultery, he commits adultery. What's complicated about that? If you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. But yet, when Brother Branham had to preach marriage and divorce, look at what he had to preach. Did you ever stop whenever you first got into marriage and divorce? Did you ever stop and wait and look for those supernatural, deep, complicated revelations that come with marriage and divorce? And you kept looking, oh, what's Brother Branham really trying to say? Until God brought you back to the reality that all Brother Branham was really doing was just preaching the simplicity of the Scripture, the way marriage and divorce was lined out. And when he got done with marriage and divorce, he come to the end of it and he said, but now what do I do? My prayer to God was, what do I do about all of these people and these messes like that because, he said, of misinterpreted theology.
Right.
It wasn't that the Bible was complicated. It was that man had complicated the Bible. And that's when God met him up there on Fanger Rock out in Tucson. And he walked out there and the kids even dismissed from school to watch that funnel cloud going up and down on that mountain out there where the Holy Ghost was telling him, tell them going as they are, but tell them not to do that thing again and teach their children not to do another thing like that. How complicated is that? And yet I see women in this message. They get divorced, they walk off and leave their husbands, or the husbands walk off and leave them, and they'll go to some preacher that's looking for some mystical interpretation of marriage and divorce. And it's just as simple as say it just like Jesus said it. Say it just like Brother Branham said it. But why do they complicate it? Because man is always looking for something bigger. Something greater. That's so he can brag. The word's amen in case y'all forgot it. So he can brag. Oh, I've got a revelation. Sure, that's what they want. That way they can lead people unto themselves. But any true servant of God ain't wanting to lead nobody to themselves. They're wanting to lead them back to this word right here. Amen. Because this word is the gateway to Jesus. Hallelujah. I've seen it in church many times. Come to the end of a service, people that are used to big altar calls and big moves, and I sense that thing and I try to go a different direction and I'll say, now, if the Lord's dealt with your heart, just raise your hand to the Lord. I can't tell you how many altar calls that I've had to make because the people sitting there in the pew could not, their faith, just absolutely impossible for them to do because of the way they've been taught. Their faith could not latch on that if I just raise my hand standing here in this church to the Lord, that Jesus sees my hand and He can meet my needs standing right here in this pew. But I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've had to change the order because I'd ask somebody to raise their hand and they'd raise their hand to the Lord, and yet you could feel it didn't hit that little spot that it needed to hit so that they could really reach deliverance. And I've had to say, okay, now why don't you step out of your seat and come stand up here in the front? Oh, that changed it. But really, there was no difference between where they were there or where they are up here. Same piece of carpet up here is the same piece of carpet back there. And when the pulpit was on that side of the church, really, if that's where your face at, then you need to go line up at the back door in order to get right with God. But Brother Ben, that's what? Too simple. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word, Father. As I bow my head to You today, Lord, I just want to thank You, Lord, for everything You've done for us. I so appreciate, Lord, Your mercy to us. Lord, how easy it is to stumble over simplicity. I know in my own life, so many things that you've done for me that I've probably ignored as being great because they were just so simple that they wasn't at the level that I was expecting them to be. But Lord Jesus, forgive me for that. Forgive me for stumbling over simplicity. And in them simple, humble little ways, that when you speak out or you move, because it didn't come in an earthquake or in a cloud or in a thunderstorm, but it came in a still small voice, I overlooked it. God, help me. Forgive me, Lord, for doing that. I'm sorry for overlooking those things that were so needful in my life. I'm sure these people sitting here this morning, they probably agree with the very thing I'm saying, that how many times we've overlooked simplicity because it doesn't come the way we want it, because we think it ought to be this way or that way. The reality of it is, Lord, it comes the way you want it to come. And if we could understand it and believe it to be right, that little parenthesis of simplicity is where you've dealt with us all of our life. But Lord, Satan, our adversary, has sought, Lord Jesus, to complicate our lives. Now being rapture ready means we have to have almost a PhD in message theology to be ready to make the rapture. We have to have such deep revelations of God. Lord, I don't discredit anything deep that you'd want to say to us. I most certainly don't discredit anything that has a depth of revelation to it. But Lord Jesus, you have always remained the same. Your character's never changed. The greatest and the deepest things that you've ever accomplished, that you've ever completed, any task you've ever set your great mind to, was always completed in a way of simplicity. You was going to have a whole nation repent, a whole country, a nation of idolaters that worshiped Dagon the fish god. And Lord, a little backslidden prophet got swallowed up by a great big fish. And you spit him out on the bank, put an oxygen tent down there to keep that prophet alive so he could repent and get himself right. And there come their god up on the bank and spit this little prophet right out of his mouth. Oh, glory. Simplicity, Lord. It's always been that way. Here's little Samson with a jawbone in his hand. Lord, it didn't look like much of a fighting tool. It certainly wouldn't have made the gun magazines. It wouldn't have made the gun and knife shows, the weapons daily. But in your hands, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost on it, it was one of the greatest weapons the Philistines had ever come up against. So simple, so little. David, we've talked about him many times throughout our Christianity as he faced Goliath, the simple thing. And yet, Lord, when it came to David's great fall with Bathsheba, it was that simplicity that stumbled him as well. But it wasn't simplicity of you. It was that simplicity of the devil, that counterfeit that Satan lays out there. He uses wisdom and presents it in a way, oh, this is an easier way, this is a this way, that. Really, truthfully, what he makes look easy isn't really easy at all. It's the more complicated, difficult way. Because, Lord, what the devil makes seem like a bed of ease, there's more things attached to it that have to be worked out. And that one, as it were, simple little adultery became so complicated that it took David the rest of his life to live out the results of it. Why? Because Satan complicates the simplicity of the things of God. He tries to make it look easy too, but it's not. Women think, oh, I'll just cut my hair and get the dead ends off. As I read the other day where your prophet said about a woman was upbraiding Brother Branham because she said when she was out in the garden picking strawberries and fruits and vegetables and what more, that she'd wear a pair of slacks because it'd be a little bit more ladylike, she said. It'd be a little bit less. The dress couldn't fly up and so forth. And I read closely because I was interested to see what Brother Branham would respond to her. Because, Lord, I've had them same type of questions come my direction. And I love what Brother Branham said. He said, that's just your opinion. He said, when the Word says, that's what we follow. I thought, Lord God, how simple. How simple of an answer. Not to complicate it. Well, if the environment calls for it, and oh, if nobody's looking, I heard preachers compromise up and down, making excuses so people can do this or that. When the real, genuine answer is so simple, stay with the Word. God, help us this morning, I pray. Forgive me, Lord, for stumbling over simplicity in my life. Forgive me. I know I probably have many times and I haven't meant to. Forgive me, Jesus. Help me from today on, Lord, to recognize it better. And when you're working in my life, even though it may be so very simple, help me to recognize it. Help these people to recognize the simplicity of the gospel of Christ in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for sending us a message that's easy to follow. This truth is not complicated. Serve God, you live. Disobey God, you die. The day you eat thereof is the day you die. Lord, it's not complicated. But the problem is we make it complicated because we want to see something different. Help us, Lord, just to be babies. That we can take a step back as it was and just receive it in the way that you've given it. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. How many here can just raise your hands to the Lord this morning and say, God, I've stumbled over simplicity so many times, and I just want to confess it to you and ask you to forgive me this morning and help me recognize your simplicity in my life more. Amen. How many just feels that way? Just raise your hand to the Lord now and just tell him, stand to your feet with me if you would. Let's just make some moves toward the Lord Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Just confess it out to him right there before the presence of the Lord. You don't have to speak out necessarily, but just make your confession. Lord Jesus, I've stumbled at your simplicity, your gospel, your message. I've stumbled over it, and I see now the error of my way. And I want to make these things right with you this morning, Lord. And I want to recognize the simplicity of your true gospel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lamb of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless His holy name. We bless His holy name. Just give Him some worship now and just say, Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for hearing me this morning. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to come back over here to the pen and let your pastor come and lead some songs and worship for us. While you stand there worshiping, I just want you to remember me. I'll be going to Trinidad in November, Uganda in January, Jamaica February, and going to Myanmar in April and May of next year. Just keep on your heart those missionary trips, if you would, as we go before the Lord. Just pray for me, if you would. Heavenly Father, we just so thank you. We just so thank you, Lord Jesus. If our brother will come sing for us, I'll get on the piano over here. Amen. Hallelujah. Just keep worshiping him now. Just say, Lord, I've stumbled over simplicity so many times. I don't want to do it no more, Lord. I don't want to stumble over the simple things of Christ no more. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
will feast at the table of the Lord. It's